Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hello and welcome. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com, that's where you're going to find all of our programming, audio and video, and of course HagmanReport.com for print. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link for the GoFundMe for J.D. Hopwood. Please do that. If you haven't done so already, please do that. Understand, you know, we've got a member of our extended family that's suffering from cancer. He's receiving treatments. He's in need of some help, he and his wife. And I would like to point out that he lost his newly born daughter, and I don't know, within the last 18 months. Normal pregnancy, birth of a daughter, and she was in trouble and, of course, passed away that day. He's had a pretty rough time of it, and he's having a rough time of it right now. He's fighting, of course. He's fighting cancer. It's terminal cancer, but, he can do it. Your prayers are, look, I understand, you know, we're all doing the best we can. And, if nothing else, please pray for him. But we do have a GoFundMe for JD. There it is right there. JD Hopwood, a good friend of the program. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link for the GoFundMe for J.D. Hopwood, and keep him in your prayers. Great show planned for you today. Of course, it is Wednesday evening. We're about 40-some days away from the presidential election. We've got an open Supreme Court seat. What does that mean in the legal sense? You know, I think it's real simple in the legal sense, what can be done and what should be done. That seat should be filled, and it should be filled immediately. Here with me to talk about everything is, of course, Wednesday, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Before we get to Dr. Proctor, two things. You know, not too long ago, my wife's niece came, and she wanted some assistance in helping her with her budget. She's got a couple of children, some things went out of control, and anyway, she had a lot of credit card debt. I introduced her to Lightstream, and it made all the difference in the world. Lightstream.com/Hagman. That's Lightstream.com/Hagman. You don't need to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you a lot of money. And it did my wife's niece. Lightstream's fixed rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. Folks, here's how to get it. This is the only way to get it. My listeners can save even more than that with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's Lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. All right, one announcement as well. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, I believe in the first hour, we're going to have Gerald Celeni come on and talk about economics. Well, not economics. I shouldn't say that. Trends. Because we talked about economics last week with Richard Proctor. Perhaps we'll get into some economics today as well. Whatever he wants to get into, we're going to get into. A lot of legal things, a lot of let me reverse that. A lot of constitutional things, okay? And that we're going to be talking about today. And, of course, Richard Proctor is the author of Saving the Constitution. If you go to ProvisInstitute.com, you'll find it there. Now, again, before – I'm asking Dr. Proctor's indulgence while I do this. There was about a 4-minute, 50-second video from Owen Schroyer from InfoWars that didn't seem to get a lot of play, but he went through a lot of issues that I think might serve as the basis, as the plate, the entree of what we're going to be talking about today, or what we could talk about today, if that's the case. It's, again, it's going to be up to Dr. Brocker what we talk about, but these are some of the issues that Americans and people around the world are facing right now. And I think this is, this provides a good, kind of a good wrap up of a few things. And again, this might serve as, well, I'll tell you what, this might serve as an appetizer for what lies ahead. Let's go ahead and play this, and then we're going to go right to Dr. Richard Proctor.
And here are the Somalis that we got out of your district. A Somali national with conviction for
Ilhan
murder.
Omar.
Think a Somali national Ilhan with Omar. Conviction for conspiracy to provide materials to port to a terrorist organization. A Somali national with convictions for drug trafficking, refusing to submit to arrest, and looting an officer. A Somali national with convictions for rape. Communication with a minor for immoral purposes. A Somali national with convictions for statutory sexual assault. 8 to 11 years old, theft, bad checks, Somali national, convictions for assault, robbery, theft, larceny, a Somali national with convictions for criminal sexual conduct, a Somali national with convictions for assault, indecent exposure, sexual conduct, a Somali national with convictions for corruptions, solicitation of a minor. And then they also address how she claimed that they would be spreading COVID-19, saying, no, they all get tested before they are sent back to Somalia. So just a total rejection of the lie of Ilhan Omar, a snake. The CDC shouldn't be allowed to just say, oops, we're sorry. We were wrong about all of this. No, there should be some level of punishment to this. I mean, this is criminal disinformation that has cost people their lives, cost people their livelihoods, cost people their business, their sanity. I mean, who knows? I mean, marriages probably ended. I'm not even kidding you. But it's just, oops, we were wrong about the whole thing. And, well, we don't really want society to know we were wrong about the whole thing. So we'll just put out a little presser, and we know our mainstream media won't pick it up. So we'll get away with the biggest hoax in our history, and we'll apologize for it. But we won't ever suffer any consequences.
And in the meantime, Epstein is dead. We've got the DOJ investigating the governors that moved COVID patients into the nursing homes. How long does it take to investigate that one? You know what I'm saying? And so we have, and CDC is coming out with bombshell after bombshell. And it's just, there's no consequence. There's no change to the masks. In fact, in my tiny town here in Texas, the mayor just echoed what the governor said and extended the mask order.
Yeah, it's mid-December now. Oh, no, we'll really get it going. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets replaced, then we'll really do it. Then we'll really get them going. This is what they're threatening. Literally, Harris is threatening it. Obama is threatening it. But here's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would really say about this? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, do you think President Trump should nominate someone to replace you, Ruth? Do you think we should do that?
I do think that cooler heads will prevail, I hope sooner rather than later. The president is elected for 4 years, not 3 years, so the power that he has in year three continues into year four, and maybe some members of the Senate will wake up and appreciate that that's how it should be.
Well, thank you, Ruth. We agree. CDC says it mistakenly published guidance about COVID-19 spreading through air. What? Even CNN is admitting this today. The CDC has removed new guidance that acknowledged airborne transmission of the coronavirus, posting in a note on its website that the guidance was only a draft and had been published in error. Oh, what? Okay, so the mask thing is right out the door then, right? Wrong. You'll still wear the mask. You'll still be forced to wear the mask. You'll be looked like a kook. Oh, you're in the grocery store, and everybody around you is wearing the mask except you, and they think you're nuts. But if you say, hey, did you see? The CDC revised their report that it's airborne. It's not.
And he also discovered what looks to be a beam of light that can be seen in the infrared spectrum, like a microwave. On September 8th, a beam of light can be seen directed to the Dolan Fire of California. The beam appears to excite the heat signature of the fire as it is held on target for over 2 hours.
Right before dawn, watch that. This is yesterday going into this morning. This is in California, the beam coming from space up above Oregon or somewhere in between this and Oregon. And as it's going through, see how it excites? As the beam is spreading, look how it excites. It's no doubt about it. And the beam spreads first. Look, beam spreads first. It goes from a tiny little tight beam to a wide beam. Then the fire spreads to a wide fire.
The next day, a beam of light is seen directed at and exciting the heat signature of the Holiday Farm Fire in Oregon for over an hour.
All right, folks. The reason I played that. Fires, riots, COVID, or the Chinese virus, masks, mask orders, and even, of course, and especially, of course, the constitutional aspect of the Supreme Court vacancy. That's a pretty good rundown, I thought, of different things. Mask rules, mask ordinances, not laws. Here to talk about whatever he wants to talk about for the rest of the program. I'm just going to see, you know what? I'm going to turn this program over to Richard Proctor. I'm going to sit back and listen and become edumacated. I want him to teach us. Edumacated. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProVisInstitute.com, Saving the Constitution is the book you need to buy. You need to get it today. Buy two. Order two. Contact them. Order two. Send one, and I'm telling you right now, it's what I did. Send one to your sheriff. Send one to your rep if you want, I mean, or rep, or both. But by all means, keep one for yourself. What I call the most valuable book right now, next to the Bible in the world, is Saving the Constitution. Dr. Richard Proctor is here. Thank you so much, Dr. Proctor, for your gift, gracious gift of time. Let's rock.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I was just listening to Ruth Bader Ginsburg on that show that the spot you put on. You know, she just said what she said for political reasons at the moment. She's one of the stupid justices of the court. She's one of those who voted for constitutionality of churches closing in California. She's one of those who constantly badgered and destroyed our country through her decisions. And now to say that she, you know, we're going to lower the flag for her, I think we should have raised it double high. Did I say that? Yes, we should have raised it double high. Folks, these guys are destroying our country. Stop. You know, let's just think for a moment. Why is there even a tizzy about whether President Trump would nominate another justice for the Supreme Court right now? Why is there even a tizzy? Because the one group of people want to destroy the country, and they're afraid that he might nominate someone who would help him, or they want him to make sure he nominates someone who will help them. So we got to postpone it and make sure that we can have a chance to get Biden there or even Harris there, because that's the plan, you know. So we get one of those two people there, then we can get a justice that will understand the way of life as how it's supposed to be. Oh, we don't want to have blind justice. Is that what the term used to be, blind justice? Now we don't have blind justice anymore. We have money justice, and we have Supreme Court justice. Both of which are wrong. Trump should have already nominated somebody. I'm not sure if he has or not, but he should have already nominated somebody.
Saturday.
The Senate should already have confirmed him the day or the day after he's nominated. The only reason the Senate is to confirm is to ensure that the president can't put a crony in there, somebody who doesn't have any legal background. That's the reason. They don't have the right to put a guy through. Will you allow us to keep on murdering babies? You won't allow us to keep on murdering babies. You can't be there. What's going on here? It's been politicized to the point where we don't even know what that court is supposed to do. We don't even know what it's supposed to do. And 90%, maybe even higher, of things they do they're not supposed to do. Article 3, Constitution, Article 3. I have an item here that came to I was on the John Wells show this last week.
Great.
On Saturday.
Okay.
And he talked about an item, and it tweaked an interest for me. So I'm going to mention that here because I think it's important. He said, who controls our history controls us. And then he went through all of the history that we're losing for our founding fathers and all of those things. And he's absolutely right. But, you know, let's go through it. I thought about that, and I added a few things. In fact, I said them on the show, but I'm going to say them here. Who controls us? Who controls our history controls us. Who controls the money and the value thereof controls us. Who controls music controls us. Who controls the media controls us. Who controls the education of our children controls us. Who controls the entertainment industry controls us. And these six items, and there's probably more, but those are the ones that came to my mind strongly. Those six items have been used separately, the past over and over again, to control us individually, but now they're all focused on us, every one of them. Everyone's focused right now on us. And if you want to see the history of who controls us, it's in the Liberty series. It'll show where the money control. I don't talk about the music, but I talk about the media and the education and the entertainment industry. In the past, I've talked about music in another instance, but these things are used to control our lives. And we're ignoring it. We're ignoring it. Closing our schools is controlling our children. Do we want that? This group of people who are lying to us to control our children? COVID-19. It's a lie, you guys. It has been a lie since the beginning. The CDC will change some more stuff. They'll change some more. So they've changed the number of deaths down to 6%. Now they've changed the fact it's not airborne completely. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you. They know that the media is going to do what the media is doing, not telling anybody these things. Nobody will hear them but the people on these conservative radio talk shows. The masses do not hear it. The masses do not know it. The masses do not pay attention to anything except the media, and the media controls us. Oh, you guys. Okay, I just wanted to mention that because I felt like that was germane to today, absolutely germane. Mostly, I want to concentrate today on who, on what, the dangers. Let me start that again. The dangers of the 20th Amendment, which, by the way, is a constitutional amendment that is law according to the law. It is law.
You know, we, professor, I'm going to call you. We talk about the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, but I think once you get above the Second Amendment, people's eyes they gloss over, and it's like 20th Amendment. Now, how many amendments do we have? And I'm not putting people down, you know.
Yeah, 35 amendments, right. We're going to pass the 36th any day.
Okay, yeah. And then I got one up by one in my dresser drawer that needs to be, okay. This is good. Okay, so Amendment 20. And by the way, follow along at home with your book, Saving the Constitution. If you don't have it, well, shame on you. But follow along with us. Here it is. And I just wanted to say that. So go ahead, thank you for
the 20th Amendment. Yeah. There are four sections in the 20th Amendment. They all seem not innocuous. Housekeeping. You know, when are we going to have the president take office? The 20th of January. When will we have the Senate and the House take office? That's section one. And section two, I don't remember exactly. Let me get it here so I can tell you exactly what it is. Section two provides for when the Congress is going to start their office. When are they going to do their first times? Section 3, what will happen if the current president dies or becomes disqualified, for example, he becomes mentally ill or whatever, before he's inaugurated? And then that covers that. And then the fourth section talks about what the law of the vice president or president dies. Okay, so these are innocuous things. Are they really? It was passed in 33. Are they really innocuous? Let's take today. Now, remember, this is passed in 33. This is a very turbulent time in the United States. The president, Franklin Roosevelt, was set to go, and he started immediately. There was how many hours? He had 36 hours between his inauguration and the day that he started the Great Depression of the United States. Did I say it right? He started it. Now, I don't mean he personally. Maybe he personally did, but I believe it was all planned for him to do it as soon as he was there.
Anyway, wait a second.
Yeah.
Say what? He started the Roosevelt. Roosevelt,
Theodore, was
thank you
inaugurated.
Yep.
In January, in March, like March the 3rd. In those days, it was done in March.
In March,
not in January.
That's right.
See, that the 20th Amendment wasn't passed yet, so that's how it was established. 20th Amendment, March.
But he started the Great Depression, though. 36 out within 30. See, that's what I want people to hear. Thank you very much, because this is real
history.
He started
it. Absolutely. That president started the Great Depression at 1 o'clock a.m. on Monday, March the 6th. That's precisely the date he started it and the hour. And the proclamation was 2039. And what is it called? Declaring bank holiday. That started the Great Depression, right there. They claimed that it was to calm people down. Oh, yes, we'll calm people down. No. It was to get the banks closed so you couldn't do anything. And then they began to destroy money by changing the interest that the Federal Reserve loans money to the banks. That's called that interest rate. They changed that just a little bit, and they changed the amount of money the banks had to hold that they could put out. That was all done during that week. And then the Great Depression started. And that was the week, I'm getting my stuff mixed up. March the 6th, 1933. The dangers of the 20th Amendment. It was passed on January the 23rd, 1933. Wow, another year like 1913, another year. Let's look really close at Section 1 and Section 3. Let's look really close. Now, here is the explanation. Some of this information is not in my book, but I do have a handout, Dangers of the 20th Amendment. There it is. I'm getting it up. You can't read it, but it's there. I have a lot of trouble because my background changes. But there it is. I'll send it to you. It's two pages. Dangers of the 20th Amendment. Now, let's see what they say. The first section says the president will take office on January the 20th. That's okay. The third section says if the president can't qualify, Congress will appoint someone to take over on January the 21st, actually noon of January the 25th, the 20th. So now what does that say? It says, I'm just going to paraphrase this right off the bat so you catch the key sentence. This is the soundbite. It says that if we can delay the president's inauguration, Congress takes over the country. And the third in line is the Secretary of State, The Secretary of the House of Representatives takes over in the event the President and the Vice President are disabled during their terms. This one said, if he doesn't take the oath, if President Trump doesn't take the oath at noon on the 20th of January, Congress takes over the country. Do you really want the Congress to take over the country? Now, let's think for a minute here. Oh, everybody says, oh, look, oh, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done the other. If Trump would just do all the stuff he said he'd do, I'd back him. But he didn't do it, and I'm not going to back him anymore because he didn't do what he said he'd do the first time. What you don't know is that you guys hamstrung him by putting a House and a Senate out of his control. You re-elected people that were rhinos. You know what a rhino is? Republic on the outside only. Republican on the outside only. Republican in name only is what it really says. But what's like a watermelon? Red on the inside, green on the outside. That's what rhino means. Rhino means we have people elected there that pretend to be members of the Republican Party to get elected and then begin to undermine everything in the country. Utah has one of the most famous ones. Yes, Romney. He ran for president. We didn't elect him. The country didn't elect him. And now Utah did. So now Utah is one of the, has one of the rhino senators there. Isn't that a nice thing for me to say about my own state? He is a red on the inside and green on the outside. Republican in name only. Do we really want these people controlling our country? Well, on January the 21st, they will, if they can possibly do it. And it'll go to the Supreme Court. And if we delay, Congress will nominate the president, the Congress's acting president will nominate the next Supreme Court justice. This is the Congress's acting president, which today is Nancy Pelosi. Now, if that doesn't make you sleep badly at night, that doesn't disturb your sleep, you didn't understand what I just said. And that's the 20th Amendment in a nutshell. The 20th Amendment is very, very clear. I'm going to read you the third section. That is absolutely imperative. 20th Amendment. Well, I got to get to the page. 20th Amendment, Section 1. The term of the president and vice president shall begin at noon on the 20th day of January. Done. Section 3.
It shall end at noon.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. It says end, right? Well, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. It'll end at noon on the 20th of January. The new guy's got to start at noon on the 20th of January. I read it. Sorry, Doug. I read it backwards.
No worries. I think you're giving us tomorrow's headlines or November, December, January's headlines. So continue, please.
Yes. Okay. Now, I'm not going to read the whole Section 3 because it's pretty long. But down towards the latter part, I'm going to start right here. If the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall have qualified. By the way, the term qualified is not defined. We don't know what qualified means. Does it mean he didn't stub his big toe yesterday? What does qualified mean? Doesn't wear the right kind of shirt? What does qualified mean? Anyway, that's what it says. The vice president-elect shall act as president until the president has been qualified. And here we start after a semicolon. The Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect shall have qualified. And our system, now that we vote for people, means that one can't qualify, the other can't qualify either if they just won't let a Republican be in office. Nor a vice president shall have qualified, declaring what? I'm going to take something out of the Congress may by law provide for the case, declaring who shall then act as president. Or the manner, this is important, or the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected. Do you understand those sentences? And the next one goes on, shall act accordingly until a president or vice president shall have qualified. So the last paragraph there says, we in Congress will take over the presidency until we decide to give it up. That's what the last phrase of the 20th Amendment says. Congress shall take over the presidency until they want to give it up, because they will decide who qualifies. They will decide who can act as president and vice president. They will, at that moment, there will be a coup in the United States government. And if you think a constitutional crisis is up for grabs, it's now. That is what we actually said in 1933 we wanted to happen. That was written by the same powers that controlled how many House representatives you have. Are you represented in the House? No, you're not. You haven't been represented in the House since 1929. You have not been represented in the House of Representatives since 1929. Are you represented in the Senate? No, you are not represented in the Senate because the Senate is supposed to be appointed by people that you called. So you control the Senate, but by who you call to your legislature. Have the people and the states been represented in the government? No. Are you represented in the Senate and the government? No. The Senate, you lost that in 1913. Same group of people that destroyed your representation in 1929. The same group of people that made sure this amendment was passed reading exactly like that, hoping you would not understand what it meant. Now the stage is set. All the mail-in ballots, all this stuff. We're going to say, oh, these, we got to recount all these votes. Oh, we don't know yet. We got to recount them. Some states have even postponed the election from the 3rd to Friday of that week. Did you know that there are states who have passed laws now that say that the president, your presidential election day is Friday after the 3rd?
No.
Where did they get that right? But they've done it. Do you see what's going on? Does that mean that it's going to stop on the 3rd Friday? No. We got 40 days for many states to change it to January the 5th. Or any date they want. These are the ways they will decide that the president's not qualified on January the 20th. And who will do it? The same people who've been taking away our powers since 1776. They're all talked about in the Liberty series, outlined perfectly who their names are, what they do, and how they do it. This is just a new twist they've never done before, but they're doing it now. The pattern is there. It's a coup on the United States government by the Rothschild family, the Illuminati. It's a coup. They're taking over our government on January the 20th at 12:01. Are you happy with that?
No.
Did you just discover what the CDC's been doing? They're doing it under the guise of the same people. Bill Gates is one of those people. He's not on my books because in those days he wasn't one of the people, but he is now. Okay? Soros is one of the people. He's not in my, well, George Soros is named in my books. He's one of those people. These people are in charge of our government. Now they're going to take it over. Before it's been shadow, now it's going to be their government because the 20th Amendment is law. And that's what's happening right now. The CDC has been conned. Well, no, they're a part of the team. They were paid. Conned to do this. An error. We didn't mean to send that out. Of course they meant to send it out. Of course it was. And now they're going to say, oh no, that was a mistake. Oh no. The damage is done. Everybody thinks masks are absolutely mandatory to protect ourselves against an airborne disease that doesn't exist. That's how we're being controlled. That's what the Liberty series talks about. That's what I've been trying to get everybody to understand. We have a shadow government. I've been watching the shadow government since 1970. Actually, I started watching it like 68, 69, because I watched Barry Goldwater's election. Folks, things are bad and they're getting worse. And if you think you've seen the end of it, we have lost our government. The 20th Amendment will be used to ensure that if President Trump is elected on election day, to ensure that he cannot take the oath of office at noon on the 20th of January. And it's simple. All they have to do is say, oh, we couldn't count all the ballots. We're going to postpone it. And in the next 40 days, the next few days, these states could say, no, we're going to, because it's all about vote in ballots. We're going to allow people to send in their vote for president on the 5th of January. Oh, yes. Give everybody a chance to really understand the issues. Yes, sirree. Ah. Some, we might even change it to the 19th of January. Do you understand what this is? It's a setup. And it's being enacted right this minute because of the 20th Amendment that we ratified because we didn't understand what it said because we don't read any more these details. This is a long amendment. My, it's got It's not one like the Second Amendment, which is only a couple of lines long. The 20th Amendment is, let me see, I've got to get here on the 20th
six
Amendment.
It's got six sections.
It's more than a whole page. Yep. More than a page in your small books. It's more than a page. Whereas the Second Amendment, which we don't know what says really either, is only four lines. Come on, guys. This we passed. That's where we are today. What can we do about it? Wow. I'm sorry. The day's passed. I don't know right now what we can do about the 20th Amendment. I don't know.
So, Richard Proctor from ProvisInstitute.com, Saving the Constitution, Liberty Series, Bathroom Economics, his books, order them all, please. So, Richard Proctor, are you saying to me and to everyone out there that the 20th Amendment will be the tool, the weapon, the instrument that will be used for the coup, or could be used for a coup in America in the event of a Trump victory?
Yes, I'm saying that exactly. They will not use it if Biden wins. But if Trump wins, they will use that exactly. And there's nothing short. Well, how am I going to say this so it's not too bad? I just says I don't know what we could do. Jeanette and I were talking about that last night at length. There is something the president can do.
Do you want to share or not?
I want to share. Yes, I want to share. I'm not going to leave that hanging.
Okay.
There is something he can do. He does have the power to declare a national martial law.
Ooh.
He does have the power. And if he does do that, then he can use the military to ensure that we don't have this kind of shenanigans and have a coup. Yes, that he can do.
Wow.
And in that case, the national emergency, because all these national emergencies seem to, he'll use it to override the 20th Amendment.
How is that constant? Okay.
It isn't, but he'll do it. He could do it. Now I'm talking about not using I'm talking about violating the Constitution. I'm sorry. I did just now say it. Use these powers to violate the Constitution. Absolutely. He can do it. Because if he's elected and the country proclaims we want him as president, he won't be, because there'll be a coup at noon on the 20th of January, and he'll lose it. Guys, there you have it.
Hey.
A guy by the name of Alan Drury wrote a lot of books about politics that nobody reads, even when he wrote them. Well, a lot of people read them when he wrote them, but they don't read them today because, oh, he's an old guy. Those were written in the 60s. That's not germane. He wrote a book called Preserve and Protect. And that book had a vice president and a president elect standing on a platform ready to take over on 20th of January, because that's the law in those days. It still is, by the way. A bomb exploded underneath the podium and one woman and one man died, not of the same couple. That's how he said it. That's the last sentence, which set up a situation where there's really no way you can say that the 20th Amendment could not be put in effect. In fact, he wrote it that way so he could write two more novels. But if he wrote it today, he would have all four die. Mm. Now there's no president or vice president elect there. It now falls on Congress on the noon of the 21st, because the current president would still be going. Noon on the 20th of January, that coup would have been done in his books if he'd wanted to do that, but he didn't. But he set it up to be done. He killed both of them on the day of the election, eve of the election.
No one's got to die.
No, in this case, no one's got to die, because we're setting the pattern of changing the election day. The election day is the 3rd of November. But states have changed it to the Friday after already.
How is that even possible?
Because nobody knows what this book says. This book, Saving the Constitution, which you used to have on the shelf in front of you, but it's not there anymore. That book.
It's in my office.
It's in your office, right? I know you got a new background. I like the old background. Nevertheless, I got a new background.
This is actually our studio, but anyway,
I like the office. I like the office.
It's cozy.
Never mind. You see, guys, this is what's happened to us. A coup is established. We're going to see it happen. States that are really worried about the presidential election will not be able to count their votes. And then they'll say, oh, this is so tough. Oh, and I'm sure there's people that haven't been able to vote yet. Oh, no, no. So the state will change when the elections are, when the election occurred. One has. He's changed it to the Friday after. That means another one will, who wants, those who want to, change it, and another will change it, and another will change it, and then they'll be arguing about what day. Now, instead of being the 5th, obviously that's not the 5th, that's about the 7th or the 8th. Instead of being the 7th, the 8th of November, one will say the 20th of November. Another will say the 25th. Another one will say December. Another one will say January. Before it's done, there will be nobody qualified because officially the states won't have ratified a president yet because they haven't been able to count the votes yet. You see? See how that's done? So it sounds legal. And by Jove, the way we're doing things today is not legal, but it's the way it's going to happen because they're going to point to the 20th Amendment. They're going to point to all the other amendments to destroy them. But the 20th Amendment is going to be etched in stone. It's going to be etched in stone in your minds. You're going to hear about the date and you're going to hear about the qualified every day starting in January.
Okay. What happened? Okay. Now, you're assuming here or presuming that Nancy Pelosi, or that the Democrats maintain control of the House and the Senate stays roughly the same Republican controlled, if I'm understanding you correctly, because if the House is flipped, the 20th Amendment would, that'd be very difficult to invoke the 20th Amendment. Am I wrong about that?
Yes, you are wrong. I'm sorry.
Tell me how.
If the House is flipped, if the House appears to be going to be flipped, the states will find new votes to count. They'll do that in October.
I didn't see that coming.
They'll find new votes. Did you know they've already, the state in Pennsylvania, your state, has already declared a method to have 100,000 votes not count?
No. Do tell. Yeah,
They said they have to be sent in secrecy, in a secrecy envelope. And if they're not in a secrecy envelope, then they are not going to be counted. Yes, your state said that.
I missed that memo or something.
That's okay. Huh? That's okay. Look it up. Look it up. I got it in the stuff that I read. Hundred thousand votes. Trump only won by 14,000.
I better stock up on 556 and 223, right? We better stock. Where's this guy? I mean, okay.
It came to me from Mike Snyder's End of the American Dream. He put that on his report earlier this week. Or late last week, one or the other, and outlined what happened. Pennsylvania is ready to go Biden, no matter what you guys vote for. They'll find new votes and disqualify them out. Sorry, that's what's happening. It might also be your state that changed it to the 3rd. Not positive about that. I thought it was one of the further in states like Michigan or one of those, but it might have been Pennsylvania also. The 3rd. Do you want me to look at that real quickly?
Well,
I can't look at it because I'd have to change and lose you on the screen.
Yeah, don't do that. But explain to me. Okay.
But Pennsylvania did say they have done it. It's in write. It's in print. I read the document. It's in print. I read a portion of the document. It's in print that you have to submit your vote in a secrecy envelope or it won't be counted.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're talking about the mail-in ballots?
Yes, the mail-in ballots. They won't be counted. 100,000 votes won't be counted because they're not in a secrecy envelope. Yes,
right. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I was aware of that, but I guess I didn't put the two together, okay? I was aware that because the way they are right now is there's you could tell who the vote is and your party and all the good stuff's on the outside of the envelope right now.
See? So that won't work. They're going to disqualify all those. All the envelopes they're sending out will be disqualified. All of them. I didn't know what you just said. I just thought it was going to be 100,000 because that's all Mike said. But if what you just said, every mail-in ballot will be disqualified. Every one of them.
Well, I think there are different printings. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I do know what you're talking about.
There it is right there.
Yeah, right.
That's it. Precisely. Obscure law. People don't know it. They won't realize this problem. 100,000 was the indication.
Can we get ahead of this? Is there
how? You can if you get the information out. This is what Mike said right here. In Pennsylvania, throw out mail-in ballots without counting them if the voters do not return them in secrecy envelopes. It's precisely what I'm just talking about.
All right. So listeners and viewers in Pennsylvania, if they used this non-secrecy envelope, can they in turn, instead of staying with their, since their ballot, their vote's going to be tossed out anyway, can they vote in person?
I cannot say whether or not they'll accept any other envelope but the one they send. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
In Utah, they send us an envelope that we must use to return, period. We don't have a choice.
All right.
I don't know what they're going to do, what they do in Pennsylvania on that.
I'm going to have to find this out. So, all right.
See, if the people notice that it's not a secrecy envelope and they put it in one, a secrecy envelope, you know, they print them to send checks in. Put them in one of those envelopes and send it in. It meets the law. But does it meet the law of having the envelope they sent to you used? I don't know the answer to that.
Look at this. Secrecy envelopes rule promises electoral chaos. And this is all being utilized, weaponized, and we're being set up, folks. We're being set up, obviously.
But it's not just Pennsylvania. That's just an example. That's the kind of shenanigans that's going on all over the country. This is a coup. This is how it will be done. This is how it will be done. Little things like that. But people's votes won't be counted. New votes will be found. Oh, we've just found these in the closet. They won't say the closet, but that's where they were. We just found 20 boxes under the desk that we didn't count. They've been doing that for years.
Right.
That's been norm, but they've never had the desire that we have today to make sure that the Republican duo does not get elected. The only way I can see it, guys, is if the president causes it not to happen. In other words, if he looks down his system and he sees the shenanigans being played in all the states around the country, he can stop it. But it'll be a lot of shouting and a lot of media. Oh, will he be in trouble with the media? Because the media is tickled to death. You didn't find this out from the media. You found it out from the alternate media, the meaning of what's going on. You didn't find out the dangers of the 20th Amendment as it stated so closely until I wrote this document right here and we talked about it. No one else is talking about this. Not at this moment.
No. No.
See you guys.
We're gonna have a Battle of Athens on our hands. I don't know how many people remember the Battle of Athens, but in my view, that Battle of Athens, 1946, McMinn County, Tennessee.
Talk about it.
You know, I want to be very accurate here. Let me just pull up my notes. I talked about this some time ago, but it was the men of McMinn County, Tennessee were sent, obviously they were fighting World War II. And, during that time, there was a lot of election rot and election shenanigans, like you're talking about, take place in McMinn County, Tennessee. And this is a short version of it. So the guys came back from World War II and learned that this one political family machine had taken over their county. And actually it was in McMinn County, of course, Tennessee. And the long and short of it was there was a lot of election day came and went in 1946. I think it was August 1st or 2nd, August 1st and 2nd that night. And, we're talking about county government now. Some people were, stopped from voting. Some people, people found ballots, in places that they shouldn't have been. Instead of counting ballots out in the open, they counted ballots in secret to sway the end vote. And folks, you can read about it. I would urge caution when you read and view about the Battle of Athens, where you get your information from, because some of it is leaning far to the left and saying that, some of the stuff didn't happen. But the bottom line was, hey, the guys that came back and realized that their votes were not being counted, were not being counted properly. There were some people being prevented from voting. They went to the armory. They got guns. They got grenades or dynamite at the time. And, they said, no, we're not putting up with this crap. And, I think
they knew how to use them too. They knew how to use those things too.
I think one or two, I think one person was killed. I'm not sure. But I could tell you this, the crap hit the fan and, the guys stormed the courthouse, took over the voting process and restored integrity into the voting process at gunpoint. They said, we're not putting up with this crap. And I talked about the Battle of Athens, several times here on this program. And right now, so this is what we're facing. We're facing,
nationwide.
Okay. Yeah. And Wikipedia says there were some injuries, no fatalities. No. That's wrong. The real story that there was at least one fatality. But the bottom line is the guys took care of business. So apparently, guys, we need to take care of business. Okay. Because we're not going to have this crap in the United States. Why should we compel President Trump to force upon us martial law when we as men should get the hell out on the streets and take care of business?
Well, now there's a good point. If we would just do that, you've hit it on the head. That's it. But do we have to have people taking care of business, don't we? By the way, I want to mention something. I take with a grain of salt that's about a meter in diameter anything said in the Wikipedia dictionary.
Believe me, it's.
They always write to the left, far to the left, always, 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 always. So I use it when I can see the information is correct. Right. And I'm not partial to left or right. If it is correct, I know what it is. If it's correct, I use it. If it's not correct, I don't use it. That's the same with Snopes. Almost everything in Snopes is wrong.
My gosh. Yeah. Anyone who uses that.
Anyway, back to what we're faced with. There's a solution. Thank you very much. I didn't know about that solution. There's a solution. But it meant a militia had to do something, doesn't it? Oh, we don't have any of those. I've been bashing everybody's head about that for weeks. Nobody has one of those. Oh, Constitution requires it. Oh, don't have one.
Oops.
Folks, we're just setting ourselves up because we don't know what we're doing. You can still get these books from me. You can still get all of this stuff from me so you can know the same things that I know, and you can get your people around to do these things that need to be done. It's not over until it's over. And perhaps that's the way, I'm going to say something here, perhaps that's the way the Lord intended for us to save the country this time.
Please explain that. And I think I know what you mean.
Okay.
I agree with you. If I think.
Have you ever heard about the book, The Seven Tipping Points in the History of the World?
No.
Okay. Very, very good book. Seven tipping points. Each one of those instances, it's all about Christianity, by the way. Each one of those instances, let's just take one of them. I think it's the Assyrian army against Jerusalem. I think that's this one. They were ready the next day to go in and destroy Jerusalem, which would have destroyed the Jewish nation, which would have destroyed Christ's coming. Okay? Big deal here. Big deal. That army all died the night before they were going to invade. That's a tipping point. Muslims were taking over Spain. Now, I'm just paraphrasing these things, guys. You can read them if you want. Seven tipping points. And if nobody knows how to find it, I've got the book in my stuff. I can tell you where to get it, what the full name and author is, but I don't have it in my hand right now. The Muslims were taking over Spain. They were really doing it. They were ready to go over the Pyrenees and move into France, which would have destroyed European nations as we know them today. The army was ready to roll. They just got news that the guy that they were supporting in, wherever the country was that they were from, died, and they all took off. Tipping point. Well, maybe we have a tipping point again. Trump's election in 16 was a tipping point for our nation. Now we have another one. And ideas are being floated now. And now I just floated one. Militias organized to take over business in their counties and states would be constitutional. If you don't organize a militia, it's not constitutional. It's a mob. But if you organize militia, it is constitutional. And that's the answer. And I've been saying that answer. How long, Doug, have we been talking about that answer?
Weeks, months.
And yeah. And some have done something, but almost nobody has really actually done one. Well, guys, we have
because
we have
of you.
A few days.
Because of you, I know two individual, I don't want to say counties, but well, I guess counties.
Yes, Calaveras in California is one.
Who, because of you, have Watkins. Militias, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's one of them.
Yep.
But we need, let's see, how many counties? 3,000. We need 3,000 of Tom Watkins out there.
Yeah.
Guys, don't sit around and say, oh, woe is me. What can I do? Oh, I don't know. Do something. Tom, you're a lone ranger here. You're standing in a spotlight. You've done it. They're organizing one. And then there's another one somewhere people have called me, but talked to me about it, but I don't know where it is. So I think there are two, but I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
The bottom line, we should have 3,300 of them. Are we going to sit around and wait for the axe to fall before we move our head? I mean, the guillotine's falling. French Revolution, mm-hmm. Another form of it. The guillotine is falling. I've described what the dangers of the 13th Amendment are. But what we're also talking about is what state laws are doing to prevent us from being able to declare the election on the 3rd like we're supposed to be able to.
Can you help me understand one thing? I never understood this. Maybe it shows my intellectual or need for education here, apparently. But what the heck is up? What's this early voting crap? What's that all about? People are voting in Virginia right now. I mean, Huh?
Well, yes, I understand that. That comes about because of absentee ballots, not mail-in ballots.
But they're absentee. Not absentee. They're there.
I know, but we've changed the word. Now we're calling it mail-in, but that's the sequence of events. You start someplace and you slowly move it. Hegelistic doctrine. You move it to where you want it to be. And you can't do mail-in ballots if we haven't done absentee ballots for years and years and years. So now we do absentee ballots. Now we're going to just call it something new. We're going to do absentee ballots for everybody. And we're going to blame, oh, we have a disease that spreads. We have a mask on. We've got to have, oh, we're going to die. We can't go to the polls. Yeah. That's where we are as a nation right now. 6 feet apart. Oh, the line will go clear down the street, up, down to the, oh yes, we can't go vote. Let's do mail-in ballots to prevent all of these problems. We've already been accustomed to absentee ballots. Oh. This is because we can't go there for our health. The national emergency.
And you see how all that came together. I mean, I'm glad that Owen Schroyer went through, some of the big things there, and you hit on the head there. You hit it right on the head. Yeah. Okay. So, but what you advocated, and I sense an advocacy about this, is the declaration of martial law to ensure integrity, voting integrity.
The president has the power to do that. Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you what, did your conversation extend into, oh, I don't know, blowback?
Well, the blowback would be, yes, it did. Okay. The blowback would be secession of the states who got screwed, i.e. the ones who wanted to cheat. Secession. They'll all leave the nation. My comment really quick was, don't let the door hit your butt on the way out. We need the stuff that those states have. But we can get along without it. Don't let the door hit your butt on the way out.
I need some Tylenol or something. I don't know. Wow. Okay. No, you're right.
These are different conversations with me, aren't they, than usual?
No. Yes, but they're very appropriate for today and for the news. And I can see the headline. Look, I can see the headlines. I can see this happening. You laid it out perfectly. Which troubles me. I'm troubled.
People talk about the nation next year. I don't believe it'll be the same no matter what happens next year. We'll either all be slaves under the Democrats or the acting president that hasn't, because we haven't had a real one qualify yet. There's no deadline to that date. There's no deadline. There's no March the 2nd or anything. There's no deadline. So that could go on for a full year, acting president, because we can't qualify one that's been elected by the people.
Is this why, in part, Obama, and I'm asking for your speculation and your assessment based on your vast knowledge, and I mean that sincerely. Is that why you think Obama has stayed behind? Never before in the history of a president has we have this bathhouse Barry Kenyon's staying behind, and Jarrett, and all these people working in the shadows.
That's part of it, and that's not speculation. That's part of it.
Okay.
Got to have people ready to be ready to go do the task. If they don't choose Nancy Pelosi, an acting president, the amendments don't say anything about a president who's taking over because the Congress has asked them to take over. You see? Sitting right there in Washington, ready to go sit in the White House. Yes. That's not speculation. Whether it'll actually come to that is speculation. But why did they stay around? So these things would be prepared. Why was the 20th Amendment written this way? In 1933, so there would be a tool in place. That's why it was written this way, a tool in place.
And they had that kind of insight. The criminals now, and I say criminals because to me that's what this appears to be, they had the foresight to lay this out, maybe not to fit the current scenario, but one very much like it. Right.
Yes, that's right. Well, let's talk about the foresight of these very people. Okay. Let's just talk about that for a moment.
All right.
Now we're in the Liberty Series.
Yes.
A guy by the name of House, Edward Mandel House. He wrote a book called Philip Drew, Administrator. He wrote that. He wrote that in 1910. Major Wilson had a copy. Wilson had a copy, so he was on board with Philip Drew, Administrator. That book planned out what we need to do to turn this country into a dictatorship. He called it an administrator. And in the end of the book, this administrator goes off into the west, into the sunset. But the dictator won't. Yes, they wrote How to Make This Country a Dictator. That book says it, written in 1910. Almost everything in that book has been implemented in our country today. Almost everything.
And by the way, folks, you can download the PDF of that book.
It's not very long, so it won't take you very long to read it.
No. And it's interesting fiction, too.
It's interesting fiction.
Well, the subtitle is very interesting, A Story of Tomorrow.
Yes.
And tomorrow's today.
Yes. This has been planned. This is not. Oh, well, let's think back. I think it was 1791. Yes, that's the date when they started the plan. They set up the first central bank of the United States. The mistake was they put a 20-year charter on it. They didn't make that mistake in 1913.
I suppose a 99-year charter that, it's indefinite, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
In reality.
Nobody is going to ever see the day we don't have a Federal Reserve unless we quietly establish public citizens' banks under the guidance that I provided in Volume 6 of the book. If we do that, the Federal Reserve will just slink off into the distance because we will have established banks that don't follow their regulations by authority of the 10th Amendment.
You know, folks, I go to various forums and I look at political and non-political survival forums and political forums and such, and I read comments, and I see where some people say, "Oh, wow, this is." One forum calls it "woo-woo stuff." You know, like way out there stuff. Another forum, which has banned me, you know, I'm banned from this forum. I don't know why. Well, actually, I'm banned from a number of forums. Forums that I really never even had anything to do with. I'm banned from even, not just writing a message, but I'm banned from my articles appearing there. Links to the show appearing there. But the one thing I see that relates to Dr. Richard Proctor is that you talk about this stuff. Oh my goodness. You will be classified as kind of, you know, a little out there. I'll tell you what, this rings true to me. I don't know about you folks, but it rings true to me right now. Liberty Series. If you read that, and I had gone through the Liberty Series quickly the first time. Second time I had gone through with my wife, and she's right now reading. She's on Volume 6. We're there now. We're here now. And I'll tell you what, folks, go to ProWisdomInstitute.com. Prepare yourself for what's coming. You can buy freeze-dried food. Yeah, it's fine. You can buy ammunition, and you should. You can buy gold, silver, whatever. But here's insight. This is insight. Saving the Constitution and the Liberty Series especially. ProVisInstitute.com. Get insight. Because you better know what you need to do when the time comes. ProVisInstitute.com. It's got my imprimatur, it's got my seal of approval, it's got my endorsement. It's nothing that needs any of that. but I've never learned so much than from what I learned from Dr. Proctor in these books. And that's not a sales pitch. That's just a fact. So go there now.
And I'll add something to it. I didn't intend for this to be the case, but every 10th page talks about Christianity, God, Jesus Christ. I was inspired to write that whole series, compelled to write that whole series. Mm. Started in 2006, 2005, started writing then as with a newsletter.
Yeah.
And I used that material. I was inspired, every bit of it. As I read it now, I think to myself, how the dickens did I write that? Wow. My, oh, my, oh, my. Where did I come up with that sentence? Why does it say it that way? I was inspired all the time. I know it. I was. All these little tidbits that I write them because something comes to my mind saying it needs to be written. So I write them. And then I offer them to everybody that wants them. Dangers of the 20th century. That's the newest one. Who controls our society?
Right.
Who controls our society is just the six things. That's not important. Dangers of the 20th Amendment is.
How do you, okay, if, and again, take this wherever you want to take it. Ignore my question. That's fine. But my question is, if we do nothing, if we watch and allow this to happen, what in the hell is this country going to look like on, I'm going to say, January 30th of 2021? What's it going to look like? What's their government going to look like? What's this country going to look like? Any ideas, any thoughts, any?
My thoughts?
Yeah.
If we don't do anything at all, where we're going to raise our children in a dictatorship like China and Russia.
Oh, that ain't happening, brother.
Well, that's my thoughts.
I mean, no. Let me rephrase that. Yeah, it might happen, but it's not going to happen here.
I understand. I understand. But if we do nothing, you and I are doing things. We are, and lots of the people we talk to are doing things. But enough aren't. Enough don't have the blueprint to do it. I've sent out, 100 copies of the series. 100? Hey, folks, you don't have the background if you don't have the series. You need the Saving the Constitution because that's the compilation of the direction and what we actually need to do and the document that exists. Very, very important. That's the most important book I've written. But if you want to have the background of what's going on and what to see in the future, you gotta know what is the past. Remember, who controls our history controls us? Well, the Liberty series tells you what the control of the history has been.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Liberty series, and I can't remember which volume it was, but you hit the nail on the head. You cited an article and it referenced, it wasn't contemporaneous. In other words, the article was not contemporaneous to today, but it was referencing erasing our history and, taking down the statues, erasing, taking books out of libraries. And I don't remember the author, but boy, it reminded me of what we saw with the statues. Some 200 some books were just recently, taken out of a library. When I say recently, I'm talking about within the last 8 years, 237 books because they mentioned Christianity. And that was,
they didn't take out any of the pornographic books though.
No. They left the porno stuff in there. And just to be clear, federal courts in Roberts v. Madigan ruled against the teacher, possessing a personal Bible in school. Later, that same court ruled that the school must remove titles dealing with Christianity from the classroom library containing 237 other books. In other words, although this was a small-sided case, it set the precedent for other cases. But you had in Liberty series, the reason I mentioned that is you had not predicted it, but latched on to the news of that day, and I'm going back to 2008 now, and I don't know what volume it was in, that kind of set the stage for what we're seeing today, if that makes sense. So
yes, it does. That's the kind of stuff that's in it all the way through. Things that I saw, they came to me. You know, today, none of that information is coming across my desk. It came across my desk in the past, and I all of it, and I saw it, and I wrote on it, and I kept it. I actually got the article so you wouldn't lose them. You could actually read the article again. You can't now. You'll never find it on any source except in my book. You'll find that article. That's why I quoted the article so we wouldn't lose them. I mean, you know, I gave credit to everybody who did it. I told where it came from, date, org, place, author, everything. So nobody can say I plagiarized, but I did copy that article so we would have it today. And if I hadn't done, we wouldn't have it today.
That's right. And I have engaged in the task of looking for those articles, and by title, they're not online anymore. You know, surprise, surprise. History has been revised by individuals who are overlooking things. So,
well, let me give you an illustration of something that happened to me personally.
Go ahead.
A book came out called Jefferson Lies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it. I would not buy that book. I'm not going to know what Jefferson lied. I don't want to know anything that he lied. Change the history. I don't want to read that garbage. Then I discovered that that's not what it was. The title was misleading. The title should have been Lies About Jefferson, not Jefferson Lies. Now I see the book. I read it. I've used it. It's there. I like the book. It tells the story. But I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't read it. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't pay any attention to it. Jefferson didn't lie.
Boy, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, well, you see, the point I'm making here is that people are rewriting history constantly. And so they go back in news. Let's take, for example, an analysis. Did everything you see in the newspaper and on the media, was it all true during the election of President Trump versus Hillary? Was everything you saw in the news about Trump accurate? Was everything you saw about Hillary accurate? That you saw in the news, newspapers, articles, all that kind of stuff, all that. Was it all accurate?
I would bet.
Of course it wasn't.
I would bet all the money in your bank account it was.
Yeah. My bank account was not yours. I picked that up. Anyway, so now let's assume that in 100 years, somebody is trying to tear down somebody else. They want to tear down Trump. Let's say that Trump finally gets his position in the presidency staff, and they begin to say he's one of the greatest presidents we had. And I believe that should be an acronym. He has been and continues to be one of the greatest we've had. And the things he has done incorrectly that I think are incorrect, I'm sure he was forced to do, or he was given incorrect information and he did them. You have no idea the problems that the president's faced with. I have no idea. I have no idea what he's expected to do. And we give him tools like the House today and expect him to do things. Come on, folks. Anyway, in 100 years, they're going to finally put him on the pedestal he belongs on. So they're going to want to start trying to tear him down. So they'll go back to the election of 2016. And they're going to go through all the newspapers, articles, and media announcements of 2016. And no matter what was said about him, they're going to pull out all the stuff that they don't like, that defame him, that are bad on him, you know, the stuff that Hillary and stuff concocted in the basement. They'll pull out all of that stuff and they'll blast it on the papers as being, this is what Trump was. See how bad he is? Well, that's what they've done to the leadership of the founders of our country. They've gone to every source they can find to make sure that they can defame them as much as they possibly can. Don't clutter your mind with such garbage. If you know a book, or it's an item is going to be geared to destroy our founders, don't clutter your mind with the words. Don't waste your time reading it. That's why I didn't read the book Jefferson Lies. I wasn't about to. I wasn't cluttering my mind with that garbage. I wasn't going to take that. And then I discovered the title was wrong. It's Lies About Jefferson. Now, I have no trouble with that book. And when I got it and discovered, when I discovered this, what it was, and then I got it, I understand. I have no trouble with that book. It is outstanding.
You know, I think probably because of you, or I say that kind of tongue in cheek. They did put a subtitle to that book, Exposing the Myths. You've always believed about Thomas Jefferson. Now that's the new subtitle to the book. Anyway, and by the way, if you look at, and I'm so glad you mentioned that book again, because when you mentioned this book before, when you were on this program, I had searched it and then I had found this article. Are you ready for this? Publisher pulls controversial Thomas Jefferson book. Okay. Citing loss of confidence. And this is talking about the book you reference. And this, of course, was published by NPR back in 2012. And guess what? Now, I'm just saying, I don't know, coincidentally, a couple of months before the election of 2012. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting. So the publisher, if you can get this book, you'll have to get it, I believe. I could be wrong. Maybe it's still on Amazon or it's been republished, but very interesting. Did you know that? Did you know that was pulled?
No, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I went, no, it is available. It is available without redaction. But for a time, the book was pulled back in 2012. So.
Well, people do that. They discover something that isn't the way they want it to be. They do that. Now, let me, another story about my stuff, my Liberty series.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that, you know, published it back in 15, 16, 17, that kind of time frame. Okay. Anyway, so here we go. I found a publishing sales group that sold books to libraries, school libraries and public libraries. That was their goal in life. They had a massive organization selling books. Thousands and thousands of books were placed in libraries. I found a fellow and I was talking with him. He says, "Oh, well, let me get your books in the library." "Yes, sirree. Get your books in the library." So he went to town to do it. He was squashed immediately. None of his books are going to be in any library.
Oh yeah. You can't have that. You That's can't right. have the truth in there about the shadow government and how we got here.
No, you can't. Now, surprisingly enough, one of the libraries up in the Northeast ordered my book, Saving the Constitution, and paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which one, but one did. But that's just one. And I don't know what they did with them when they got it. Cost them $20. They probably read it through, said, "Oh, no, no, we don't want this in our library," and threw it away, probably. I hope they didn't, but probably. Folks, that's what's going on. That's how they control us. Remember what I said? Controlling our education controls us.
Right.
Now, education means libraries.
Precisely. And their targets of expunging the truth, which, by the way, I'm glad in a sense that your books are available through your website. I don't know whether you heard about this or not, but Candace Owens was saying, you know, my books, and she's a conservative, of course, my books are coming from Amazon, and they're Amazon is intentional. Now, this is her allegation. This is not me saying this. This is what I've read on Twitter and on different publications. They're actually destroying or marring, I don't know how you classify it, marking up the books that are being sent out from Amazon. The leftists there, they'll you know, tear the cover, or, and I'm not talking about mishandling. I'm talking about deliberate destruction. This is her allegation. And I think we're going to see this more and more and more. So I'm glad you're the one that puts it in the box or in the envelope.
We handle our own material right yeah. here. We handle it all ourselves. Now, I do have some people still go to Amazon and buy books there, and they pay shipping, $3.99. They pay their taxes. They pay everything. And If they order 5 books, they pay that shipping of $3.99 for every book. Folks, you order 3. What's 5 times 3.94 is 20 books for Pat for shipping. You ordered the same 5 books from me. You won't pay any shipping at all or any taxes. We do it. We handle that stuff.
I love it. And you know what, folks? That does add up to a lot of money. You save that, but it also... It's a lot of money that Dr. Proctor does have to spend, and because I've shipped books out of here, absorbed the shipping, and my goodness, after a while it adds up. You take it to the accountant, and he says, "Yeah, do you know how much you paid in postage?" And no, well, guess what? Here it is. You know, and you look at it, and you think, "Oh my gosh!" But thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I see the accounting. I know we spend around $1,000 a month in shipping. Yeah. I know that. I know we do that, folks. I don't care. I want the book out. Another thing you don't know, folks, let me explain something to you that you don't know. My books cost quite a bit to print. They're heavy. There's a lot of words, a lot of pages.
Yep.
If I were to go to the marketplace and ask what to charge for my Liberty series, those books would average around $30 each. So we give that up, too, because we sell them at $20.
Yep. I know. I've gone through the agent process, the all of the processes that are involved in publishing, and I understand. So, you know, folks, you've got a good deal at proisinstitute.com. The link will be at hagmanreportlive.com. So thank you for doing what you do. But just I want to get back here to what we started out with. We are perhaps in the most dangerous time in our republic's history, at least in recent times, given the fact that the 20th Amendment, which you began talking about, could be invoked to create a constitutional crisis because of the different voting dates and stuff like that.
But Doug, it won't be called a constitutional crisis. It will be called following the Constitution. That's what it will be. Because it is. That is the true title. Following the Constitution is the true title. It's not a crisis.
So what you're saying is, let me reorient myself here. So what you're saying is the enemy of the Republic is going to say, no, we are following the Constitution because they are, based on the 20th Amendment, which has nefarious undertones and overtones. Okay, I get it.
It won't be we're following the Constitution. You've got to follow the Constitution. We must do this because the Constitution requires it. That's what it'll be. So they won't talk anything at all about anything else.
So how many conservatives are going to be snookered by this then?
All of them except the ones that pay attention to you and InfoWars, other places that I talk. Because nobody's teaching these things but me that I know of. I don't know of anybody that's trying to tell anybody about the 20th Amendment. I don't know of anybody.
No.
But I am. Your show, John Wells, InfoWars, I am.
So, okay. So the scenario could very well be, we're going to follow the Constitution. And of course, the conservatives, I can see Hannity. I can see Fox News saying, we got to follow the Constitution. And this is what it is. And hey, even though it kind of inflicts a mortal wound on our republic, we got to follow it. I can almost see this playing out. That's the way
I need to be on get more publicity. I need to be on more places to teach this. The dangers of the 20th Amendment.
People.
And it needs to be quickly too, by the way.
Hey, anyone listening out there? Is this thing on? Hello. Hello. Hey, Tucker, you there? Hello.
The 20th Amendment's going to put us into slavery. Literally. It's been planned. It's been placed in place. It's a tool that was established in 1933. To do this very thing when the time came, and the time is today.
This is disturbing. Yeah. You know, we look at the We often look at this, the street urchins out there, the little maggots that go out there, start fires and break windows, right? The, the snot-nosed, green behind the ears, living in mama's basement, tattooed, pierced, urchins. And we think that's the news. It's not the news. That's a distraction. We look at the other stuff. No. It's happening behind the scenes right now. The 20th Amendment, like you said, that's what we need to be paying attention to. Jeez.
Little things like secrecy envelopes. That's what we need to be paying attention to, but they're never going to hear them. They're never going to hear this on the media. Never.
You know, seriously, I read that, and when you told me, I knew about that, but when you, it didn't click. Now I know what so now I can see a tactic here. I'm afraid we're not going to be able to, that I don't think we can stop at this point based on,
just got to be alert to it and take care of it. Take care of business. Can't stop it. It's there, and it's a law of the state. And if they sent that to me in a secrecy envelope like that, and I didn't know the problem, I would probably have voted with it and not paid any attention.
You know, I wonder, I don't think I have one of the envelopes. Maybe one of the old ones are online, in the image of one of the old ones are online. But again, this whole thing was done to protect you, the voter. Okay. You know, it's anytime somebody comes to you and says, it's to protect you. It's for your benefit. Oh, don't believe them. Don't believe them.
Yeah. That sentence is a key, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sentence is a key. Oh, I'm an honest guy. I went to school here. I'm honest. That's a key. Don't pay attention to that guy. I don't know what he said. I don't know what he's saying he did, but when he start going to something like that to make sure that you know he's honest, he ain't.
He ain't indeed. They ain't. And I'll echo your sentiments. Now, if I was able to pick up the phone, right now or after the show and call the White House and get Donald Trump on the phone, boy, wouldn't that be something? I'd conference you in. But anyway, if I was able to do that, if you were able to do that, not forget me, if you were able to do that, what would you tell him?
The stuff we talked about today, the 20th Amendment, I think that's the most important thing we have right now. He knows about all the rest of this stuff, no question. And maybe he knows about all this too, but that's what I would talk about. You see, what I hope he knows may not be true because he's not privy to it because they're hiding it from him.
I get that.
What we don't understand about our government is we elect a president. And he goes in to start his presidency, but the staff, except for the cabinet members themselves, the staff has already been there. All of the staff of all of the agencies, they're already there. They're doing what they were doing the last time, and they continue to do what they're doing the last time. And unless somebody in the staff tells him that they're doing those things, he may not know it because it's too big a job to know every little tiny piece. So we're still stuck with stuff from the EPA. That he probably wouldn't want us to be stuck with if he knew it was there.
Right.
Now, he knew about the 501c3, but he couldn't do anything about it because it was a law passed by Congress, and he doesn't have the right to do an executive order that violates the law of Congress. And that's true. He does not. But it was a gimmick. We were sold a gimmick just like what's going on now. We had a coup on the churches in 56 caused by Lyndon Johnson.
Yep.
Churches lost all their power, all their authority, all their ability to teach their gospel, all the ability they had to teach anything from the Bible. They lost it all in the coup of 1956 done by Johnson. But nobody knew that at the time. They thought they were getting a benefit.
Yeah, a tax break.
Yes. They didn't have the tax to begin with, so there was no tax break. But it was presented, maybe something could happen that you would have to pay taxes. Let's put something in the law so you don't have to worry about that ever happening. That's how it was phrased. Oh, that's a good thing. Only those representatives who understood what was going on, and I've quoted one of them in the book, that says, He says anytime the government requires a church to register, they have violated the First Amendment because we have no rights to register a church. Now, he said that. That's one of the congressmen in the Congress at the time. But that's just a lone wolf. Ron Paul asked for every bill to have its constitutional authority included in the title. But nobody else cared. So it was never done.
Okay. Excuse me. Looking here, President Trump signs Johnson Amendment Executive Order. This dated May 10th of 2017. Now, what this says, this is from the National Law Review. President Trump signs Johnson Amendment Executive Order limiting Treasury's actions against religious organizations engaged in political campaign activities. Okay. And explains the Johnson Amendment.
Yeah, that's the best he could do.
Okay, so it hasn't been repealed, obviously.
The amendment, the law? No, it wasn't repealed.
But it's just not being enforced.
That's right. That's okay. All he could do. So that's what he did.
Okay, because the Washington Post and other rags out there are saying, well, President Trump's claims of getting rid of the Johnson Amendment, they're false. And Snopes, as you point out, you know, saying, oh, it's false, all these claims. However, okay, it's kind of like, a police force not enforcing a crosswalk kind of thing or something. I don't know. So they're not going after any alleged violations of the
Johnson
Amendment.
Just a minute. Wait a minute. You're jumping ahead too far.
Okay.
That's the smokescreen.
Okay.
Oh.
Talk to me then.
The IRS is a private agency controlled by the Federal Reserve.
Right.
The IRS laws. Those are IRS laws, not Treasury laws. 501c3 is an IRS deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's controlled by the Federal Reserve. Don't jump ahead too fast. He did the best he could do.
I stand corrected, or sit corrected. Yes.
Just think about all the ramifications here. It's the IRS that does. 501c3 is an IRS code, not a Treasury Department code.
Which is, okay, I got you.
Wow. See, you got to look at all these things that are part of everything. He did the best he could do, okay? That's the best he could do to do what he wanted to do. And I don't know if anybody's been brought up, but it's still there. IRS still has 501c3 rules in place.
Actually, that's true. Not that, look, I'm not a 501c3, and I know you're not either. But I do know that in the information I get from my accountant, that's still a thing, if you will. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. All right. So here we are. We are in dire straits, I suspect. And I think I would have loved to hear your conversation or been a fly on the wall, your conversation last night with your wife.
You know, she's up to date on all this stuff. She was my editor for every book.
Good job.
She's read it all. And I make a lot of changes because she says, this isn't right. Richard, you gotta adjust this. I write a paper, The Dangers of the 20th Century. I wrote that, gave it to her, gave it back. I thought I hadn't read any. It was all red. I thought, what? It's all red.
Yeah.
She uses red pencil.
God bless our wives. You know, God bless the women that help us and, you know, support us, because without my wife, I don't know what I'd do. I'd be more of a bumbling idiot than I already am. But, wow. So
and here's another interesting tidbit for those of you in Utah and Kaysville. She's running for treasurer. I'm running for treasurer. She's running for the state house as a state house representative. And she knows all this stuff in all these books very well.
Okay. So to our listeners there, and I know we've got at least one. I'm kidding, of course. Yeah. So let's put Richard and Mrs. Proctor in their respective offices in that state of Utah. Let's do that. Can we do that? We can.
I'm running for treasurer.
Yeah.
There are only three people on the ballot running for treasurer. One is a libertarian. One is a Republican, the incumbent, and me. They can't check the box anymore that says I'm going to vote straight Republican or straight Constitution or straight Democrat. There's no box. I got the ballots. They come to me. There's no box. So you have to look at it. So I'm going to make a suggestion. Do you want a Republican that thinks the Federal Reserve is the best thing there is in office as treasurer in the state of Utah? And he's told me that because I visited him about my banking system and complained about the Federal Reserve. And he gave me a lecture on how important the Federal Reserve is. Do you want the treasurer of Utah to be a Federal Reserve advocate in the state of Utah? There you have it. And he's a Republican to boot. And it's not supposed to be a political office. It's supposed to be a treasurer.
Right.
It's not supposed to be a political office. Neither is the Supreme Court supposed to be a political office. But they forgot that long, long ago. We're not arguing about whether or not Trump can select somebody that knows law. We're arguing whether Trump can select somebody that won't be politically minded. That's not what the Supreme Court's about. It's about law. It's right. about law, folks. It's not about whether he's got the right political leaning. We shouldn't care.
What's your thought about what's going to happen? And I'm asking you to kind of project here and predict maybe, but based on reasonable evidence that you've seen, what's your thought? I mean, so President Trump is scheduled to identify a nominee either Friday or Saturday. I think he said Saturday. I think he locked that in.
I'm for that. Excellent.
All right. So
that's his responsibility, and he should do it. And he is
go. Right. And the Senate, of course, in their capacity as advising consent to hold hearings and vote on the or to confirm the nomination. So do you think that there will be one? Because everyone's saying, well, there's got to be that ninth justice for a tiebreaker. In the event of in the event of the voting irregularities that they have to vote on this, like, you know, Bush v. Gore back in 2000. So do you think this is going to pass? Do you think we're going to see the justice before the election?
Well, the history. Let's look a little history here. We've got rhinos in the Republican camp.
Yep.
Watermelon Republicans.
Yep.
We've got those. Show the Republican has a majority, but I think it's only two. And we've already had two say that they're, you know, opposed. So what we have is we have here a political thing. Political thing. Now, what happened to Kavanaugh? They stretched that out and destroyed him with what? Lies. They paid people to come and say things. So everybody treated it as honesty. They knew it wasn't honest when it was being said, but they knew it wasn't honest. That's the pattern. The pattern is we make pretend that the lies are honest. That's why Roy Moore did not get elected to the Senate, because the people said, oh, well, maybe that's true. Oh, we must be careful. Maybe that's true. And so all the lies they can put together, they'll put together every lie they can find. They're going to inch into the background of that person so deeply. And if they can't find stuff, they'll invent things. And they'll invent any small thing and make it an enormous problem. That guy looked at a girl when he was 12. I tell you what, you don't want anybody to look at a girl at 12, do you? I can hear it.
Or
That's what I predict. It'll be a circus.
Yeah. In the case of
all they can to destroy it.
I won't
even get out of committee. Probably won't even get out of committee for 3 weeks.
How do you think the public's going to respond? Because
we're apathy. We won't respond at all. We'll just say, oh, well, please do something, but we won't respond. We're apathetic. We allow these things to happen. Period.
Folks, that little blip, I apologize for that little blip. It was on our end. Richard Proctor was talking. We blipped out for a moment. We were talking about Kavanaugh, the hearings, the hirelings pounding on the doors. They're going to burn this. Now they're going to burn the entire system down. They've threatened this. Okay, again, my apologies for that little blip. Okay, let's continue this because, look, we need all of this is important, and there's a threat to burn the entire place down. Even though President Trump is doing the right thing by electing by nominating a Supreme Court justice, and by the Senate confirming that justice, but boy, I tell you what, I sense that it's going to be a very tumultuous time in the hearings.
Let's talk about what the Constitution says.
All right.
And what the intent of the Constitution. That intent is very important. These guys intended for the president to nominate someone. They intended for the Senate to confirm or not confirm based upon his legal skills. That was the intent. They wrote that. They wrote what the judicial power is. They wrote that three times in their document. They intended for them to make sure that the individual was legally, properly schooled in the law to be able to execute the judgment of the judicial power. That's all they intended.
All right.
What are we doing today? First, they're not going to listen. They're not going to even review his judicial stuff. Oh, they might look at it because, they should. They're not even going to review it. They're going to look 100% as what his political views are. That's all the Senate's going to look at. And the Democrats will make sure that that's all that's looked at. And they're going to hassle and stand. They're going to stand and make filibusters. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to do everything they can to postpone the committee hearings. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that they got enough liars sitting in there to lie enough to make somebody feel, oh, well, maybe it's true. Nothing is true in this environment. It's all politics. There's nothing true. One of the things we know about politicians when they talk is they're lying. Watch my lips. I'm lying, but watch them anyway. Okay? This is what politics is. They're liars. They tell you what you want to hear, and you're all, oh, boy, that's what he's going to do. Yay, no, it isn't. He's going to do what he's always done in the past, whatever that is. But all they're supposed to do is decide whether or not he is legally competent for the job. That is all they're supposed to do. Supreme Court guys shouldn't be farmers out in the field. They should have law background. They should know the law. The representatives should be all farmers out in the field.
Amen.
The senators should be farmers out on the field, but they only planned the sessions to be a month in the wintertime. That's all they planned, just a month in the wintertime. That's what their vision was. Now we have a year, and we only get a month to talk to them, and they don't talk to us anyway. So what we have is no representation whatsoever, and our Supreme Court justices are chosen on their political views that have existed, and whether we can find anything at all in their lives that we don't like so that we can blow it up as big as possible. We're going to make the ripple in the water look like the tsunami that again went into Japan on the day of not too many years ago over New Year's Day or whatever it was. They just wiped out one of the areas of Japan. That's what they're going to make it look like, even though it's only not even a ripple in the tide.
Man.
Because they got to talk. They've got to destroy. If they can't destroy, they're not doing their job. So they must destroy this individual. And they must destroy him enough with lies so that some of the senators will forget about the fact that they're lying and won't confirm. That's the goal.
If I can ask you this real quick, because one of the issues is, one of the arguments is, all right, if you do this, President Trump, and you do this, Republican Congress, we are going to pack the courts. What do they mean by that? If you're...
Oh, Oh, you mean the sentence that says if you do this, if you appoint somebody and it looks like you're going to confirm me, we're going to hack the court?
We're going to pack the courts. In other words.
Pack the court. Oh, that's what Johnson said. No, not Johnson. That's what Roosevelt,
right.
Theodore said.
Right.
I'm going to pack the court because the Constitution doesn't say how many justices. But remember, they can't pack the court. They can't pack the court. Nobody can be confirmed unless the president nominates. Yeah, they can't pack the court.
But they're looking at Biden winning and then Biden saying, okay, all right, you did that. You did that because, okay, because CNN was reporting this earlier today. If you put in, for example, Amy Coney Barrett, she's the exact opposite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in terms of her, beliefs. And Roe v. Wade gets overturned or whatever. Biden gets in, or the next time a Democrat gets in, we are going to pack the courts and overturn all of what you overturned. That's the threat.
All right. That's a threat. That's a valid threat. Because if a Democrat gets in there, he can nominate as many times as he wants. And there is no limit to the number of people on the court because the court is not defined in that nature in the Constitution. And there's been no amendment to say there's supposed to be 9. There could be 3. There could be 25.
Boy.
And that's what's going on, folks. That's what the problem is. We keep electing garbage like that.
Mm.
I mean, come on, guys. I'm going to say it again. Don't vote for an incumbent.
Right.
I shouldn't say that, but I've never seen any incumbent. These people are not representing us. What you really need to do is fill the Congress and every place with Constitutional Party members.
That's right.
You'll have a better chance of everything if you just vote every Constitutional Party member in office. Then you'll have a better chance of everything working better.
Man, but, yeah. And we need to get our Constitutional Party or the Constitution Party in all states. That's what we need to do.
Yes.
How do we do that?
It is so hard. You can't imagine how hard the states have made it to get on the ballot. Some places you have to find 30 and 40,000 signatures that are okayed by the lieutenant governor, whoever's monitoring that stuff.
Okay.
And they're going to throw out half of them because they signed their name. They didn't put their initial in, or they didn't sign it this way, or they didn't write it that way. So they're all thrown out. Half of them will be thrown out. So if you need 50,000, you got to get 100,000 votes. And it's hard. It's hard to get people to sign the petition. And it takes hours and hours and hours of work. And it's got deadlines. You got to do it in so many days. Everything is fixed. It is very hard to get. We should be able to just propose somebody and they're on the ballot. That's what's intended. But it isn't that way. It's not that way. The political parties that are not constitutional in themselves have created a monster that is almost impossible to get beyond those two parties. It's done on purpose. You can work yourself to a frazzle and still not get on there because the Department of State of the state you're in will veto, throw out all the petitions that weren't done perfect. They're not looking for people's attitudes. They're looking for perfection. And that way they can throw them out. And that's why you have to do so many, so many. Now in Utah, there is a rule. It's in, I don't want to say concrete, but it works. If your party, if your individual gets so many percentage of the total vote, then you're on the ballot for the next several years. That number I've achieved and beyond every time I've run. So we're always on the ballot. Always. But if we don't achieve it, then we're off the ballot and we got to start all over again. Get all the signatures and fight all the petitions and go all the way through all the rigmarole again. And some of the states don't have that kind of a thing. Some of the states, you got to be something else and you got to do that every time. This is not how it's supposed to be. But the political parties who are unconstitutional, who have been in charge of the country since 1800, and in charge of the country is the right set of words. They're not constitutional. They're political entities. And they're in charge, and they always have been, and they always will be, until we, the people, understand that they're not supposed to be. But we're not gaining any of that knowledge. So the Secretary of State in every state can control who is going to be on the ballot. And if you don't do everything perfectly, for example, I'm running for treasurer. I've been running for office for, this will be my fourth time, so that's 12 years. Okay? There's a rule that I have to sign a certain document by 5:30, 5 o'clock on September the X number, and if I don't do it, I'm off the ballot. Period.
Okay, apparently you haven't missed a deadline, so that's good.
I always call them and make sure I get it all in. What it is, it's a financial disclosure. Why? I don't solicit any money from anybody. Therefore, my numbers are always zero. But if I don't get in there and put zero on all the lines on time, they'll take me off the ballot. Done. I'm out of there. In a second. That's what's going on in the State Department. So anybody that tries to get in there and do it must follow all those rules, and they don't even know what all the rules are, because the Democrats and the Republicans have fixed it so it's almost impossible for anybody new to get there to the final voting day. There are 5 dates that we have to do, and if we don't do them all perfectly, then we're off the ballot.
It's amazing. It's amazing how rigged this system is when you look at it. So, I want to give you a heads up. We got about 3.5 minutes left of the program.
All right.
So,
3.5 minutes is good. Good.
So
I understand.
You.
I understand. So you want to get the Constitution Party on the ballot in every state. We've been working for the last 12 years to do that, and we still haven't succeeded in every state. That's not right. We should be there. But if there were enough people in the Constitution Party in those states, I know we'd be ragtag, because we can be there, we just can't get on the ballot. If we were enough people with enough force, we could get on the ballot and stay on the ballot. And then we could have Constitution Party's members in every district in the nation, every county in the nation, every place. And a county will have more than just one or two. A county may have a bunch.
Okay, to my knowledge, we don't have a Constitution Party here. If I wanted to start one.
Yeah, you do. Headquarters is in Pennsylvania.
What am I thinking? Wait a minute. We don't have a constitutional candidate here.
That's for the president? Yeah, his name is Blankenship.
Oh, help me. Oh, dear me. Okay. All right. We do have a constitutional candidate here. All right. I'm sorry. In Pennsylvania. All right. My bad. All right. All right.
Not to worry. It's unusual. These things I'm bringing up are unusual, not the norm.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is what we need to do. Obviously, we need to get rid of the Republican, Democrat, Hegelistic.
All of it. The answer is this. You need people that are constitutionally minded. Period.
Right.
But the DNR doesn't have any.
Mm.
Now, that's not Daughters of the Revolution. That's DNR, Democrats and Republicans, the DNR guys. They do not have any of those.
Should be do not resuscitate, but yes. Exactly.
Yeah, do not resuscitate. That's it, too. Folks, we've got to get people that are constitutionally minded. That's all we have to do. That's why this book, Saving the Constitution, is so important, because nobody is until they read it, and people who say they're scholars are not.
That's true.
They are not.
Yep.
Not one of them has looked, I shouldn't say not one of them. Let me say they're scarce as hen's teeth, and none of them have looked at the significance of Section 1 and Section 3 of the 20th Amendment. None of them have looked at that. None of them have noticed that a state has changed its voting day for president, which is a constitutional date.
Folks,
that's what's going on.
Okay, so what I'd like everyone to do, mark today's date on the calendar, mark on your calendar today, September 23rd, 2020. Just put two X's, okay? And that means the 20th Amendment. Remember what Dr. Richard Proctor said. Remember this show. By two X's on your calendar, and watch as we get closer to the election Watch what happens. ProvisInstitute.com. Thank you. We're out of time. God bless. Thank you, sir.
Take care.